We have a guest joining us in the studio this morning, in the studio, by the way, where it's air-conditioned.
Yes.
Relatively comfortable, I guess. Dr. Keith Leonard joins us this morning, local veterinarian. Thanks for coming in.
You bet.
Hot outside, we all know that. It's been hot last couple of days. It's going to be hot for the next couple of days, and everyone is very well aware of what they need to do to make sure that, you know, they keep themselves hydrated and in the shade and maybe, I guess, out of the heat if they can't really handle that. But what about the animals out there? We sometimes think about ourselves and forget all about the animals. We think they can just take care of it, right?
And not so. You know, one of the things that's wrong with that thinking is that if you're hot outside, you know what? Your dog and cat are hot outside, too. If you were to go outside with your winter coat on, big old heavy fur coat, I will bet you anything you will be hotter than you are if you didn't have your coat on. So we got these animals. Some of them have really heavy hair coats yet. Maybe they haven't shed out completely. Maybe you haven't done your job of, brushing them quite as much as you should. And they're hot. We hear every so often that somebody says, well, that insulates them from the heat. I can't understand how that's possible. If I put a coat on, it doesn't insulate me from the heat. It makes me hotter.
Is it fairly common, though, for folks just to assume that, well, animals live outdoors in the wild anyway, so I really don't need to pay that much attention to them?
Yeah, they do think that. And it's, again, we're thinking wrongly for the simple reason that we've domesticated them. They don't have those same survival skills that they had when they were a wolf or a hybrid of some kind. We've made them kind of pansies like we are, you know. You get hot, what do you do? Well, I got to find an air conditioning someplace. Oh, my air conditioner went out. Boy, I got to call the guys right away. You know, I couldn't go 12 hours without an air conditioner. Our dogs and cats kind of work the same way. Also, the large animals, the cows, the pigs, they all have to be cool. Most of the hogs, because they're in confinement, actually are cool. They have sprinklers and fans and things like that that are automatic in these buildings nowadays. Cattle, on the other hand, some of the feedlot cattle, they need sprinklers. They need to have shade. They always have water. The farmers are really good about making sure the waters are working and the feed is there. But even then, an extra sprinkler to keep them, that evaporative cooling. If you don't have an air conditioner, evaporative cooling is the best thing. Get wet, let the wind dry you off, and that's going to cool you, guaranteed.
Yeah, cattle out grazing sometimes find a lot of flat land, but not a lot of trees.
That's right, especially these days. We seem to have lost a lot of our pasture trees.
Well, when we talk about, let's talk about our household pets in the first place, because those, sure, are the easy ones. They're right here underneath our nose. You know, if they live indoors, that's great. That's fine. Mm-hmm. But if they live outdoors at all, the key issues are water and shade primarily.
And a breeze. A breeze makes a big difference. If the wind's not blowing, lately here we've had plenty of wind, so it hasn't been a big problem. But if it gets still out there, you really need to take a fan outside and plug it in and let it blow where they can get into it if they want to, or stay out of it if they want to. It's just one of those things that it's always better to have a little breeze. Some of these big hunting dogs, like Labs, those kinds, they get along better if you have a big pool of water, a baby pool, you know, the little swimming pools that you can buy at the Five and Dime. Those work great. They can go out, they can get wet, they get out, they get in the breeze, they cool themselves off. That's good. Drinking water is extremely important. Panting is the way that dogs primarily get rid of their heat. So your dog's day like this is going to be panting, I'll guarantee you. It's kind of interesting to me to watch how wide their tongues are. The more they pant, the more they need to cool, the wider their tongue seems to be. I had one in the office a couple days ago, and I think his was mostly nerves, but I tell you what, I thought his tongue was twice as wide as his jaw, but it was kind of fun to watch, but that's the way he keeps himself cool.
Fresh water is really the key.
Fresh water, cool water. Which would you rather have on a hot day? Would you rather have a hot cup of tea, or would you rather have an ice-cold glass of water? Ice-cold glass of water is going to beat it every time for me. So I think cool water is always good. You can put ice cubes in the water. Doesn't hurt anything. Actually slows down your dog from drinking a little bit. Once in a while, this kind of weather, they drink too much and then they puke it up. So, you know, that's just the way it happens. But if you put some ice cubes in it, slows down his drinking, and yet it's really nice and cool, and they really think that's great.
You bet. And, you know, one of the things to be concerned about, too, is where, if you have a dog especially that lives outdoors primarily, is consider the surroundings there. When you leave in the morning, you might look out and see that, oh, he's got plenty of shade. But by the time the afternoon rolls around and the earth is turned and the sun's in a different position, might not be any.
That's right. Dogs that are tied particularly, those that are in a yard, they can kind of move around. They're in a fenced-in yard. They're pretty good. If you tie your dog up, that can be extremely dangerous because you don't really know where that dog is during the day. And maybe he gets wrapped up someplace. Maybe he catches his chain on something. Really dangerous thing for a dog to be tied up in this kind of weather. Now, we have leash laws in Atlantic, so you can't let your dog run loose, but you do need to check and make sure he's not tied up someplace.
Absolutely. What about medications? Are there certain medications that maybe some of the animals might be taking that might make them a little bit more susceptible to this heat?
Well, some of the medications will cause what we call hypersensitivity on white dogs. They'll sunburn easier. That's one thing, too, that people kind of forget about. Let's say you have a white dog, and he's long-haired. Pomeranian, something like that. You cut his hair off in the summertime to make him cooler. That's nice. Don't forget he can sunburn. So don't let him out in the sun right after you get his hair cut. If he's got an inch of hair, probably okay or not too bad. But if you get him down there pretty close, boy, he can sunburn just like gangbusters. And that's not pleasant at all. I've seen a couple of those that just really were uncomfortable. And you probably need to see me. We'll get him some stuff to make him feel better.
This may sound like a dumb question, but I'm going to ask it anyway at the risk of public humiliation. Do you put SPF 30 on a dog?
No, it just mats the hair down and causes all kinds of problems. Been hearing a lot about bullfrog. I don't know what it does. I've never seen the stuff, so it's been advertising quite a bit. So I don't know about it, but the creams really do mat the hair down, and it actually makes things worse, not better.
Well, they're going to lick it off.
Well, and they can lick it off, you bet. And it can cause an upset stomach, diarrhea, things like that.
All kinds of issues there, too.
If your dog does get hot, first off, get him in a cool place. Give him plenty of cool water, and you can run cool water over him. You're not going to put him into shock. Don't put ice cold water on him. Don't get a bucket of ice water and pour on him, or don't put him in an ice bath, for goodness sakes. But do put him in the tub and run cool water over him. If you got a shower head that you can use portably, just wet him down good. Just keep going and keep going. You can take his temperature. Rectal thermometers work on dogs just like they do in people. If you've got one in the house, it works just the same. Might think twice about using it on yourself afterwards, but, because you have to take rectal temperatures in dogs. When you get them cooled down, they'll cool down pretty well, but when you stop putting the cold water on, then they rebound. They go back up. So just because you got him down once and his temperature, say, gets down to normal temperature is 101.5, let's say you get him down to 102.5 from 104.5, don't just quit there. Come back in an hour and check him again, because he's probably going to be up to 103.5 again. You need to do a little bit more.
Are there certain breeds or sizes, dogs, cats, barnyard animals, anything like that, that are large animals going to be more susceptible or less, or does it really matter?
Color is big.
Okay.
If you got a black dog, he's going to absorb all the radiant energy from the sun. If you got a white dog, he's going to bounce a lot of that back off. And so color makes a giant difference. I don't know if the size of the dog makes a lot of difference. I've seen little dogs overheated. I've seen big dogs overheated. And over the years, we've seen some dogs that didn't make it. I had a dog come in at 108.5, and we thought we got him under control, and he was okay for about 12 hours, and then he passed away. And it was just, his temperature was so high that he just kind of fried his inside organs and just could not survive after that high a temperature. So you really need to watch these animals.
Are the signs that obvious for us? I mean, should it be obvious to us that the dog or cat is struggling a little bit?
I think it should be. That big tongue, that's a biggie. You watch your tongue. They're going to be looking for a place to lay down. They may get weak. They can't even get up. They get too hot. They're down. They can't get up. They're laying in the middle of the sun, and they're panting. They're laying on their side, panting. You're going, what's wrong with my dog? Well, go feel him. I'll bet you'll find out he's pretty hot. And this time of year, when you get these 90-degree temperatures and the high humidities, it affects them just like it affects you.
Absolutely. And just like it is, probably more so with dogs and cats than it is with humans, we can kind of tell you what's wrong.
Right.
They really can't say anything to you about what the deal is and what the issue is. And it's a lot more difficult to deal with them when they're sick and when they're not feeling well, when they're overheated. Probably best to take care of the preventative stuff that you can handle easily first.
Absolutely. Shade, breeze, water. Boy, those are so important. One little thing that you can do with your dog is if you're used to feeding him in the morning and he's an outdoor animal, probably ought to feed him in the evening when it's going to be cooling off. Soon as he eats, his body temperature naturally goes up because of the digestion process. So you have the added increase of eating and digesting food on top of the day getting hotter. Probably not a good combination. If you wait till 7, 8 o'clock at night and the sun's going down, feed your dog then, and we're talking about the outside dogs, not the little ones that are inside, then probably it's going to be a little easier on him. So just a few little things that you can do like that. But the biggies are give him shade, give him a breeze, give him cool water. He's going to be okay, I think, for most part.
A little common sense by the humans goes a long way for the animals.
It does. Go outside and sit in his kennel if you want to know if it's hot out there. It's hot out there, then he's hot too.
I guess put yourself in his paws, I guess.
Absolutely.
Speaking
correct.
Of, before I let you go, what about paws? When the heat, you know, when the concrete gets hot, asphalt gets hot, you know, we just assume that those pads that they have on the bottom of their feet can go through anything. Is that really true?
No, it isn't true. Matter of fact, if you want to come out, I got a little dog that was picked up by City of Griswold and brought up waiting to find an owner. He has all four of his feet burned, and I'm sure it's from being on hot asphalt. This asphalt gets unbelievably high. Talk to the guys that you know that work for Henningsons that lay asphalt this kind of weather. They'll tell you it's almost boiling. And yes, they can burn their pads. So most dogs have a way to get off from that when they're in the yard or even in kennels. They can get inside where the sun doesn't make their flooring so hot. But if they're out, particularly the ones that run the streets, they get burned. And you'll see them, they'll be holding that foot up, and you look, and that whole pad is burned underneath there. It's just, they look pretty ugly when you see them.
Is that permanent?
No, they actually grow the pads back, believe it or not. I don't know exactly how that works, but they seem to be able to do it.
I'm sure it's painful, though.
Oh, yeah. This little guy, he just keeps picking his feet up one at a time because all four of them are that way. And he lays down. You go back and talk to him, and he gets up, and he stands there a little bit, and then pretty soon you see one foot up, and then another one, and then another one. And pretty quick, he's laying back down again. He's saying, yeah, this kind of hurts. I'm not going to lay back down.
Yeah.
So we've been treating him a little bit and trying to make him feel a little bit better.
I hate to see that.
It is. It's nasty to see.
Because it's easy to prevent.
It is. Go run out on the asphalt barefoot, folks. Just think about yourself. What would
no
you do?
Thanks. I don't want to be in their shoes or paws or anything else. No
That's
thanks.
Right.
Take care of them so they can keep taking care of you. Doc, thanks for coming by.
You bet.